Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 38 of Cracking the Spine. Me llamo Sean.
I'm Zane.
Josh. Just trying to think of the German. I don't remember the German. Ich bin Josh.
I already did that one, like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Josh.
Those are the only two languages I know.
What, English and German?
Yeah.
All right.
Are there any fun facts about the number 38?
No, I couldn't. Yeah. I seriously couldn't think of a single one.
Well, then I'm sorry I brought it up.
There's that cool 80s band, 38 Special.
There you go.
Hang on loosely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Real Big Fish, 38 Special. This guy knows it all.
I am a music junkie.
So we are dedicating this episode to the member or members of 38 Special, who are all either alive
or dead,
or some maybe dead.
Slash listening to the show.
This one's for you, guys, and maybe there might be some girls in that band.
Podcast loosely.
So, Sean, what are you reading?
I finished Sleeping Giants. I finished that last week? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
No, it's really good. And I got a present from the author today.
Oh my god, with this crap every week. Oh, right? With the awards and the presents and the, book, I got book guys.
Here's the thing, I went to a workshop when I was at that conference, and they were like, if you read books before they come out, like, tweet it and put it on Facebook, because the authors see it and the authors love it. And
that's what we were doing with Armada. Me and some lady were going back and forth. She was reviewing it, and I was like, oh, I read it too. And, like, people were, like, all over that crap. And I was like, that's really weird.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's funny you should say that, because when Armada first came out, somebody who I started following, a law firm in Canada that I was following on Twitter, who started following me.
Probably going to sue her and his clients for stealing all that
during,
stuff.
She started following me during, like, the whole, like, everything that was going on in Ferguson. Like, mm-hmm. We were sort of, like, parallel mind tweeting mm-hmm. that stuff. You know, social justice mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And she tweeted that she was going to start Armada. And I just wrote back, like, don't bother, save your time. Dude, she wrote me, like, 6 tweets in a row. Like, what kind of arbiter of people's tastes are you? How dare you tell me what I should and shouldn't read? And then blocked me.
She was really
oh, my God.
And then she blocked me.
Wow.
So anyway, I got a present
just
from...
just got that Ferguson... spill over a little bit.
His name is Sylvian Neuville.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you the beginning of the book is a girl falls through a hole and lands in a giant robot hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I got a robot hand with a girl in it that he made.
What?
Yeah, I'll bring it up.
That's awesome.
It's here.
Scale?
No. I don't think so. You'll see.
That's awesome.
So I set that aside.
Why do you get all this free crap all the time?
I know, right?
I'm people, man. Someday you could be people, too.
Ugh.
I could never be a person.
I didn't say a person. I said people. You gotta become plural, man. Anyway.
Hold on loosely.
I started reading a book that will be out in August of next year called Mr. Eternity.
Mm-hmm.
What's it about?
It's about, I think, about I'm only about 16 pages into it. I think it's going to be about Daniel Defoe as, okay. Like...
Willem Dafoe?
Like, he lives forever.
Willem Dafoe, keep going.
Like, it's about Willem Dafoe.
There was a firefight!
Willem the Conqueror Foe. It's like, the first chapter is in 2016, and then it flashes back to, like, 1680, and then it flashes to 1750, and then it flashes to, like, 2400, and
so
it's all being written, like, journal entries, but all of them have run-ins with Daniel Defoe.
Okay.
And it's good. It's really interesting so far, but it was a manuscript that was sent to me as PDF form, so I'm reading it on my phone. So it's kind of like, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's sort of detracting from it. I think it would be better if it was a paper book. I mean, you know, whatever. It's still a good book. But anyway, so that's what I'm reading 4 minutes in. Zane, what are you reading?
Uh-oh.
She didn't finish it.
Here we go.
3 weeks. This is 3 weeks. Like it's like the new Josh.
I know. I haven't had time.
Just give up on it. You don't like it.
It's fine.
She can't, man. You can't tell her
the thing
that.
I was saying to Josh before we started that every time I pick it up, I'm like, this is totally fine. I'm totally into this. And like 3 pages later, I'm like, what else is there to do?
Yeah.
Like it's not even that I'm like, I don't like this book. Or, like, I feel like I'm stuck and I can't get through it. Like, I pick it up and I'm like, this is really good. This is fine. Why? And then, like, later I wander away from it.
Just put it away, man. I don't work on
commission. I think also the problem is I'm, like, 3/4 of the way through and I can see exactly.
What's
like,
happen.
There's, we're on the cusp of a big reveal and I know what it is.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
You don't.
I know exactly what it is.
I want to know.
What is it?
No. No.
All right.
She's not going to go on the record.
She doesn't
know.
I'm not going on the record.
She's not going on the record.
We'll get it.
I do know, but no matter what I say, you're going to tell me that I'm wrong.
We'll get it at the break. All right, Josh, what are you reading?
I hit a wall with the time fold. The fold. I just kind of got...
Wow, I gave you guys both books that you hate.
No, I like it. I got...
This is the first book that Josh has actually bothered to read and, like...
No.
Yeah, but he just said he hit a wall on it.
I just think I read a lot of it, like, real quick, and I kind of took, like, a break, you know, for a little bit. Like,
and then it's hard to pick it back up again.
Yeah, and then I started reading it when I was here, like, waiting for the podcast and stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, I know, I got it back anyway. I don't know, I'm kind of iffy about this book. I got to the Lost in Space part.
Yep.
Where I was like, this is Lost in Space, and then now it's turning into, like, the Langoliers a little bit.
Yeah, there's some of that goes on. Yeah,
and I was like, all right, I kind of know, like, and I kind of knew, like, anyway, like, where, like, what was going on in this book from the beginning. It's interesting. I wanted more, like, story. I want more, like, what is happening. I wanted, like, bigger picture stuff. I don't want, like... like these action sequences with this thing, and it's right. Kind of like, yeah, like that can be fine.
I
but.
Just like I like the dude with the photographic memory. I thought that was a really
it's
cool,
a great
like device.
The eidetic memory or
yeah,
whatever.
That's
it.
Yeah,
it's a great. That's a great thing. It's like how would like Data, like if you were like Data from Star Trek, like how would you like experience life? Be awesome.
Mandatory Star Trek reference down.
Check.
38 weeks in a row.
I get paid for them
by the Star Trek reference.
Yeah.
Nobody. Yo, can I get some of that fat Star Trek kickback? Give me some of those quatludes.
Quatludes. For 27 quatludes.
All right, cool. So, Zane, I forgot to ask you. So you haven't, like, picked anything else up? I've literally ground you to a halt on reading?
When I say that I have not had the time to read, I'm being very serious. I've been very busy and I've been working a lot, and I just haven't had a spare moment to
sounds like old Josh again. Old Josh making excuses.
Eric's at news van again.
Oh, Josh, you're the worst on this podcast.
That's
seriously,
true.
New Josh. No, we're talking about new Josh.
Nope.
Bill Cosby's introducing new Josh.
Don't
oh,
worry.
I can't do Bill Cosby jokes anymore.
Don't worry, new Josh. Someday they'll bring back old Josh. It's just a marketing ploy.
Well, then who's the new Zane?
It's me, I'm Zane.
Oh, hey, new Zane.
I read books.
I regret everything that has led me to this point.
It's going swimmingly, 38 episodes. All right, so...
Oh, man.
What is... I don't understand why sometimes I get accused of being mean when I'm just trying to segue into...
the next segment.
We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to get into a topic that we talk about a lot off the podcast. So let's bring it to the podcast.
We're infecting your podcast.
Right after this break.
Winding and long, it goes on and on, but I can't remember the song.
I'm
next. I'm Josh.
I'll go third because I'm Sean. I showed them my robot hand, guys.
It was cool.
It was super cool.
We should probably do a picture thing, right?
Yeah, I'll take a picture of it.
We don't have a
definitely
Polaroid.
Remember to post it next week. When
definitely. Just like I totally remembered to post my staff pics, just like I said I was going to.
Oh, you were going to post your staff pics?
Yeah, I said that last, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I don't even remember that. That's how long ago.
Yeah, it was in regards to the Mad Max graphic
oh.
novel. It was 2 weeks ago. After the show tonight.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
Anything's possible.
No promises.
You never know.
So welcome to the No Promises cast.
What are we talking about on the No Promises cast tonight?
I think we're talking about stories in the video games, right?
That sounds about right.
That sounds about right.
Because all three of us, we're big fans of...
that.
A specific video game that I think... Should it remain nameless?
No,
why?
It shan't.
Skyrim is the name of it.
I don't know if... saying we're fans of it is enough. We're like a little crazy about
it's,
it.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's like midnight and I'm getting texts about Skyrim.
We do love to... I really enjoy talking about Skyrim with the two of you.
Well, we're very knowledgeable.
It might be the best part of the game.
I don't know that I'm very knowledgeable at all, honestly. I feel like the things I know, it's like my knowledge of Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know how to do a lot of things really
right.
well, and I also feel like
you don't know
a trillion
anything?
Things
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about, like, Skyrim purposes. I don't know anything about, I still can't figure out forging. I still can't figure out, man, like, anything with, like, the workbench or...
You gotta come to the School of Josh. Let's go. I'll teach you all about it.
Carrying around ignots and, like...
Oh, you gotta put them in a chest, man. You gotta hide them. I have a whole system.
And then I killed my wife.
That's like Josh...
In Skyrim. In Skyrim.
Well, Josh, like, built his own house in Skyrim. With, yeah. Like, he had to, like, forge his own nails and, like,
hinges. Did you really? Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that like a PC mod thing, or is that like just...
It's the one of the expansions.
It's the Hearthfire.
Yeah.
Like, nice.
DLC, it's fun, man. You can build three houses. I like Lakeview Manor. Okay. That's where I keep my family and my house,
but those,
Carl.
Those houses that you build, like, on your own, they can be, can't, like, things break into your house. Like, don't you come back sometimes and there's, like...
Giants will kill your chickens.
Yeah. Well, I thought, like, sometimes, like, bears break into your house and stuff like
no,
that.
No, but I never had a bear break in, but...
Or maybe it's, like, saber cats that I'm thinking saber, of.
Saber, yeah, things, like, kill your chickens and shit. Oh. Like, and then your ox, if you buy a cow, they'll kill your... And they steal your cow, and they...
Can you buy it for beans? Can you buy a cow for magic beans?
No, you can't buy... There's no magic... That's Zelda, the beans.
It's true.
That's the Ocarina of Time.
So, we often play Skyrim, and then we all talk about it in, like, a three-way text message.
So
and,
if you don't know what Skyrim is, first of all, I'd be surprised. But there's probably some people out there that are listening that don't know what Skyrim is. It's a...
It's like a five-year-old video game.
It is pretty old.
It's a role-playing game that is... I want to use the word infinitely big. Like, it is...
It's large.
An enormous world with seemingly endless numbers of, like, quests and bad guys and weapons and armor and choices.
Pick up flowers, you can scavenge, you can shoot people in the face with arrows.
And it blows my mind that they fit all of this onto one disc. Yeah. And then for 5 years, I've never really had to, like, get an upgrade for it. Like, I didn't buy the expansion packs.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Now you need them.
I know, I probably do.
The vampire one's cool, too. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
Add a little story.
It got us talking about, like what does it take to write that story?
Yeah.
Because, like, even in the world of Skyrim, like, as you're going along, you pick up, like, books, and there's, like, an entire, like, lore and history of this universe.
What's interesting to me about Skyrim is that Skyrim is, like, one game in a series of games. So
the Elder Scrolls series. If
the Elder Scrolls series.
Score.
So, which I've never played another Elder Scrolls game. Have you guys?
Yeah, I've played. I think one.
I played four. Like, I played Elder Scrolls four, which was called. Okay, it escapes me right now. But the problem is, I played it after I played Skyrim.
Yeah, oh, okay.
You can't,
it wasn't
you can't
the same.
Take a step back. Yeah. No, because the graphics aren't as good.
But
so it's like
what I think is interesting is that the way that those games are laid out is that each one takes place in, like, a different area of Skyrim,
yeah,
or like or a different area of Tamriel.
Yeah,
that's so Skyrim takes place in Skyrim,
right?
Think
Westeros if you're listening,
right? Viking town, Vikingville.
So
north of the wall.
There's this whole mythology that goes along with Tamriel, which is the greater world. And what is, like, crazy to me is that Skyrim is so dense, but it's building off of an already established mythology. I've said this before on the show, I love dense, complex mythologies. Like, that's what does it for me in a book or any kind of story. And so something like Skyrim, which is so involved, is just, like, it's, I mean, it's, like, instant for me. Like, I just,
it's
as
like
soon
instant,
as I started playing
it,
I was like, yes, this.
Right, yeah.
Yes, a million times this.
I'm, like, a huge, like, RPG fan, and I think the secret
to... Role-playing game?
I think the secret to any good role-playing game...
As opposed to Rocket Propel Grenade.
Right. I don't like those as much, although I've never owned one.
You don't know until you try.
Maybe I should try one.
All right.
But...
Next week. Episode 39. Next, yeah.
Stay tuned.
We shoot rockets.
Greg is fine.
It's
the final episode.
Out with a bang.
The ATF is here. I think the secret to any good RPG story is kind of simplicity. Like you said, it's huge. It's like a huge story.
Yeah.
But it's not a very complicated story.
Right.
It's sort of the old, you're the chosen one story.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I love, like, mythology and, like, old mythology and stuff. I love that stuff. So it works for me. I love, like, Sword in the Stone. You're, you know, you're King Arthur. I don't know. But, like, there are... From that, then, there are, like, a million other stories going on.
Yes.
Well, that's what I was going to... Actually, when you said that, I'm thinking to myself, like, it's as deep and as detailed as you want. Like, that's the beauty thing about Skyrim, as you want it to be.
Mm.
You can get really involved in, like, literally the study of the history and right. like yeah. you can go to the Bard's College and work on like studying and like you can literally read all the volumes of books
yeah.
that you find in the game, or you don't have to. You yeah. can just go around and kill shit.
Mm-hmm.
I like reading pretty much the Nerenroot Missive is my favorite. I started collecting the books because I'm a crazy person. I started collecting.
You're a Skyrim hoarder, aren't you? Like you're
I'm a crazy dude.
Like your house is Skyrim. It's like you hoard everything.
Crazy.
See, I sell everything.
No, I'm like a Republican. Give me it. I need that shit. I'm crazy. Like I'm nuts. So I started like collecting all the rare and named weapons.
Okay.
And I got like all the ones I could get if I didn't miss them. I think I missed a few here and there.
Why? Why would you miss a few?
Because like you can't get them if you miss it, or you can type in the code.
Josh plays on PC,
so yeah. he's got all
which I don't do. I don't do that, but
that's cheating.
That's cheating. But then I started collecting the books, like the crazy, like rare books, and like they're like impossible to find sometimes.
What do you do with them?
Just put them on my bookshelf. I read them.
If a book doesn't improve my skill level, put it down.
Yep. Well, actually, I got a book. I got a book last night that was worth 2,500 gold. So I was like, I'll keep that one.
Whoa.
I keep the black books that I find.
Oh, no, you have to keep them. You can't get rid of them.
Well, you can't get rid of them, but also they're super cool.
Yeah.
Well, which ones?
You don't have the
thing. Don't have that DLC.
Oh, sorry.
You didn't fight Cthulhu. Once you fight Cthulhu, you get Cthulhu's all these cool game. Books.
Yeah, you have to like harvest all that different blood. You have to like harvest Dark Elf blood. And,
yeah, you got
to
do all
and
this.
Then you take it all. You take it to that dude up in the north. And then like you champion his spirit, and his spirit gives you the book, and it's worth 2,500 gold, and then I sell it.
I remember that.
Agma Infinitum.
Yeah. Nice! That's done! That's boom! High five!
That's the thing with the Cthulhu. That's part of the Cthulhu thing. That's like the beginning.
The like Daedric
that.
Lord that comes to you.
Yeah.
That's part of the DLC that Josh and I are talking about. There's like a whole DLC where you deal with that guy, and you read like his black books.
But beyond that, I mean, just beyond Skyrim, like...
Well, I was thinking about... what's interesting to me about Skyrim is that...
You did research, didn't you? You have notes.
A little bit. I just was reading Hollywood Josh over here.
That was for last week. That was, I wanted to remind myself that...
You have to introduce yourself as that from now on.
Hey, it's me, Hollywood Josh.
Never mind.
Okay, I'll stop doing it.
You don't have
now.
To do that.
Okay, I'll stop. Oh, trust me, I'll stop. I can quit any time.
That's Josh's radio personality. I was thinking about Skyrim and how, like, on the surface, I was like, it's so impressive, the writing, it must be such a vast undertaking, and it is, because it's so massive, but when you think about the individual storylines, they're maybe not super impressive.
No, it's like, go to a cave, find the treasure, bring it back to me.
And that's
real
when
simple.
The research that I did was I looked up the credits, like the game credits, because I wanted to see what the writing credits looked like. And for Skyrim, there is like a senior designer and writer, and then there are 7 additional writers who did quest design and writing. So, it looked to me like there was one guy like supervising everything overall, and then like individual writers writing out like individual quest lines.
I would have loved to read some quest lines that didn't make it.
I would have loved to read a quest line script, frankly. But it got me thinking about how, you know, because Skyrim, you can't play Skyrim in a linear fashion.
Right.
It's there's just no straight line. You
do like little side quests and, you know, then there's major
like
quests, but they
hopping.
All have like an end in sight. And then I got thinking about video games that have like a linear storyline. And the first one that I thought of, which is maybe one of the best stories that I've ever experienced, like hands down, no matter the medium, is Bioshock Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is not customizable at all.
At all. Yeah. It's a rail.
Yeah, it's yeah.
No choices, but it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
From
oh, God,
top
yeah.
to bottom.
It's like when you get to the end of that story, it's like, holy
There's like
shit.
A twist and it blows your mind.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know part of what makes Bioshock Infinite so incredible to me in terms of story writing is that it's perfect for the medium in which it was told.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that Bioshock Infinite would have made a good movie. Book.
I thought you were going to say The Last of Us when you were like, greatest story I've ever seen. Oh my God, the story in The Last of Us. It's basically just a zombie story. It's like a guy and a little girl have to make their way across the country.
I watched the live like acting of the story. Like the voice actors like, did the acting in the story. Like it was like a live like play of it.
That's interesting.
So that was kind of weird.
But that's another one where like the end is like, It's like one of these, it's just like a really beautiful story of like he loses his daughter in the beginning of the game and then he meets this girl and he's like sure that he's never going to get attached to her and like all this shit happens to them as they make their way across the country. And again, as you were saying about Bioshock Infinite, Zane, it's one of those things where it doesn't work in any other medium.
Right.
Like, you have to dive in and experience it. Yeah,
those are great, those are great character-driven stories.
Yeah. Like, and again, it's on a rail. Like, there's a couple of extra, like, you can find extra rooms for more ammo, but there's no side quest or, like,
there's no, like, morality secondary mission system. There's no, like, complicated, like, in Skyrim, you can kind of, like, you can be a bad guy, and it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Like, you can just kill whoever.
But it got me thinking about, like, what goes into writing a story for a game? Like, that must be, obviously I'm not a writer, but, like, how do you even approach something like that? Because not only does it have to be, nowadays, it has to be a cohesive story. The Last of Us or Bioshock Infinite, where you have to tell a story from start to finish.
It has to be immensely profitable. Like, you can't go forward. It's such a different dynamic.
And it also has to be something that's playable.
Yeah. It has to be, like...
There has to be elements that you can play. Right. Like, so the complexity of writing a story like that, honestly, blows my mind.
It blows my mind, too.
And it's collaborative. The other thing is, it all has to be collaborative.
It's collaborative. Like, well, and I looked up the credits for Bioshock Infinite, and there's, the head writer, Ken Levine, and then there's additional...
head writer.
There were an additional 4 writers writing that.
Yeah. Again, though, not an extremely complicated story. It's not very... It's not, like... You don't have to do a lot of explaining in that story.
But it takes place in a pretty complicated world. Like, it's more of a world building thing than a story writing.
That's the game, though, is you're going through the world finding this out. It's teaching you about the world, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
that's part of the appeal of the game.
It doesn't, like, the manual doesn't tell you, like, you're going to Columbia where you'll meet, in the day, that's how it used to be.
It's not Grand Theft Auto where you're like, oh, I'm in Miami.
Right.
And it's like, this is Miami in the 80s.
Well, that's why, I kept thinking about what is it like to write this story, because, like you said, Josh, like, you're world building, mm-hmm. and it's so much of it, because it's a video game, so much of it is visual.
Yeah.
So it's just
quick, sometimes it's just a quick little thing, and you see it, and you're like, what? Like, the bird, you're like, what the hell?
Yeah,
or that scene where you, in Bioshock, where you're going through the museum,
yeah,
and there's, like, the crazy racist, and, like, the huge, and you're like, whoa, is
it
okay for me to be
in, like, a super fundamentalist,
like
1912.
It's not set up like
I'm
okay.
For our
It's like, but it's still jarring, even knowing
very
that. It's
jarring.
Like very jarring when, like, you know, like the very, cliched Asian, like, you know, with the straw hat and buck teeth, and you're like, whoa.
Well, that's the you're not in Kansas anymore moment.
Right.
And you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not a good place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just, like, I just kept thinking about, it blows my mind. Writing a video game.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and then you get games that are, like, so simple, but they're so great. Like, Portal and Portal 2. Mm-hmm. Like, the story is, like, get out of the portal.
Get out of the thing. Maze,
And it's, like, that's the story.
Yeah.
But it's done in this, like, motion poetry. Like, it's, the story's told through, like, your actions and your motion, which is crazy. Like, that's, like, art. Like, that's, like, art to me. Yeah.
And then you have, like, I was thinking, you know, what other games do I really get into the story of? And I was thinking of the Zelda series.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, I mean, those games were probably going on, 30 years of the Legend of Zelda series?
That sounds about right.
87.
And it's always the same. It's always, you wake up in a village.
Yeah.
You've heard these stories about a hero. You become the hero.
Right.
8 levels, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, there's a tree fortress, and a water fortress, and a sky fortress, and, like, you have to upgrade your sword, and you think to yourself, like,
how can this be fun?
How can this be fun again?
Right. Again.
How
again.
Can they make this fun again? And, like, and then you start playing it, and it's like, oh my god, like, the music kicks in.
It's something
and whatever
in your
little
mind,
wrinkle
man.
They, like, put on it, like, you know.
It's some human thing. It's just some human, like, quirk that we, like, need that. Like we
I kind of
want to
chalk it up to nostalgia, but it's not nostalgia because kids are still getting into it.
I wonder if it has something more to do with, like, the choose-your-own-adventure aspect of it. Like, a scenario is presented to you, and then you get to play through it. Like, it's that interactive part where even if it's a little cliched, you're, like, because you're inserted into it so directly, it's still fun, even if it's an old idea.
Well, it's like Josh said. It's still just the hero's journey, or like, you know, one of the 12 tales we've been telling. But you're right, Zane. It's your story.
Everyone that story will never be unpopular.
Well, and that's ever. Like with Zelda. Like I get excited about a new Zelda game every single time, and when I like wake up in some sort of like, and I'm just like a child or whatever, and you know, and like I have a fairy, mm-hmm. and it's like, yep. this is great. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see my wooden sword and then upgrade it to my metal sword. Yep. Like I get excited about it, even though I know exactly how it's going to play out. It's
God, I want to play Wind Waker right now.
I play Ocarina of Time,
dude,
once a year,
dude. Yeah,
and it's like, how many times have I? It's been 98. That's like
Twilight Princess is fun to replay too.
I've never played Twilight Princess.
Link to the Past is the best one.
That's the one I never played that much because I didn't have a Super Nintendo.
I played Link to the Past like it was my job.
I know where every upgrade is in Link to the Past.
You're crazy.
I had a Mac, like I had the
That's like your Skyrim.
Kinda. Except I don't play it anymore because I don't have a.
You don't have a. Well, you get
oh, yes, I do have a Super Nintendo.
Emulator. I mean, that's illegal.
Yeah, but I don't want to play that on an emulator. Like I want to hold the Super Nintendo controller in my hand.
Oh, you can get a US. I have a USB Super Nintendo controller. It's not the same. You're
it's
right.
not the same.
It's exactly not the same.
Do you play it on a cathode ray tube?
Yeah, I have many cathode ray tubes.
He doesn't. He's lying. I can see it because his beard is falling out.
Just play it on a CRT screen. No, it's not. It grew back.
No, it's not. He obsessively touched it.
I love it.
So, do you guys tend to prefer one type of video game over the other?
Yes.
Do you prefer like a linear video game, like a linear cohesive story to like an open world?
I prefer, and this is, I prefer MMOs,
uh-huh.
which are heroin.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot play that. Like I'm literally like
you to cut
court ordered
yeah.
to
yeah.
not, because my life will end. So that's like the most non-linear thing there is. That's completely open world. Like go do whatever. So I love that. And, like, Skyrim is sort of like methadone. Like, I get to turn the game off. I don't have to. Like, if we all could play each other, that would be a disaster.
I would never play.
I wouldn't do that.
I know you guys wouldn't.
I hate online gaming. I don't want you to see how terrible I am at Skyrim.
I don't like gaming on a schedule. Like, I don't like people being like, yo, it's 9:30 on Thursday night. Let's get the posse together.
Well,
we're going to go do some shit. It's like, no, man. It's my time.
Terrible.
I want to be able to pause it and go make a cheese sandwich. You know what I mean?
I am terrible at playing games. Have you ever played a board game with me?
No, I don't think so.
I forget who I was with one night, but I am the person. Well, I'm like 100% sure I've never played a board game with you.
I wasn't invited.
I don't think I've ever played a board
game
with either.
Anyway, like I am the person, like, I will roll ones every single time. I have the worst luck, and that carries over but gets bigger when I play video games. Like,
I think that maybe some of that is self-fulfilling
prophecy.
Prophecy.
That's what I was thinking.
I think that you're not that bad at them.
No,
I've seen you play video games before. You're not. I've seen you play Skyrim before at your house.
No.
And you were fine. I was like, yeah, what? Like, I wasn't like, this idiot.
I'm terrible. And the idea of like having someone else like watch me or like being accountable for someone else's like
that's where the problem.
Like, I did have to finish BioShock Infinite 4.
Yeah.
Even on easy.
But
ask him how many times it took him.
3.
I think I died.
It took me 3 times.
That's pretty tough.
I think I tried like 3 times and I gave up and asked you to do it.
Yeah, but I did it.
That's what big brothers are for.
But to answer your question, it's funny because I would have said, like, years ago, I would have said I like it like an action game. Like, I was in FPSs for a while. Like, I did I was in the Call of Duty for a little while. But I was also doing, like, Zelda and Portal. Like, I like a really good story. But honestly, since I really got into Skyrim, like,
you're just waiting for the next Elder Scrolls game.
I know.
Somebody loaned me Alien. Yeah, it's like Alone in the Dark or something like that.
Okay.
And I started, I was like, this is really good. I'm not playing Skyrim.
Yeah.
And I liked Far Cry 3. Good. It's like basically Skyrim with guns.
Yeah, uh-huh. Far Cry 3 is great. I have Far Cry 3. It crashes on my computer. It just hates my video card.
And then I got Far Cry 4, which is basically the same as Far Cry 3, just in a different area.
Yeah.
And
you get to have sex with that lady in Far Cry 3.
Yes, you do.
Which is pretty cool.
And it's like interactive.
It's sweet.
And I got like 2 hours into Far Cry 4, and I was like, "This is really I'm not playing Skyrim."
Yeah, it's not. There's something about the sounds and the music and the environment. Like you go, it's the next best thing to going outside. It sounds so stupid, but it's like I can be in the forest and I don't have to go in the forest.
See, that's not my reason for continuing to go back to it. It's just like, it's like putting on a comfy pair of jeans, man. Yeah. Like, I know exactly what I'm getting into.
Yeah.
I've got the button. Like, I don't have to worry about learning new button mapping anything. And I'm like, all right, let's go see what butt farts can get into today.
You're a magic, right? You're a wizard, right?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, he's also really good with two-handed and heavy armor.
Zane and I are we cut heads off.
Yeah.
I bash heads with my Warhammer.
Remember when I told you how to make weapons better? That was cool, right?
Yeah, but I don't have the upgrades. Like,
you got to, yeah, well, yeah. You have to get smithing 100, enchanting 100, alchemy 100.
Hey,
I
got nobody time for that. Dude. Enchanting, I got up to 100. I made it legendary.
I know how to deal with, like, the smithing skill. It just bores me, and I can't do it.
Just, by the way, for full disclosure, my character is named Butt Farts, because I was creating a new character a couple months ago, and I was like, hey, guys, what do you think I should name my character? And the only response I got was Zane, who said Butt Farts. Spelled B-U-T-T-F-A-R-T-Z.
I didn't have to respond after that. That was the name.
So it's Butt Farts.
I thought it was Butts Farts.
No,
Butts,
it's Butt Farts. It's Butt Farts.
Oh, okay.
With a Z.
With a Z. Yeah.
Zane's always got to have a name with a Z.
Right? Classic Zane. What about you, Zane? I mean, what other, like, where do you, when you're not Skyrim?
I think, I usually, before Skyrim, and before
BS, as we call it around
and
here.
And also before BioShock Infinite, because that game, like, had a huge impact. I just loved it so deeply. It, like, really changed.
Sorry, Dan.
I'm not good at games, and games that are too challenging or too stressful, honestly, like, turn me off. Like, anything with, like, a timed challenge, which...
Oh, that sucks.
That's usually when I, like, nope out of Zelda games
or,
as well.
Or
when they're, like,
quests or
they give you... Yeah. Some sort of it's always like a deadline and I never meet it and it's
homework.
Really frustrating and I can't do it so I stick to like really simplistic games that I know what I'm getting into and then I played BioShock Infinite and I just loved it and I was like I want more of that and then I finally got Skyrim and now it's like I'm just waiting for the next Skyrim and now I feel like I'm more open to the idea of a game like Skyrim or a game like BioShock, but I also kind of feel like I'm chasing the dragon in both of those instances. Like I'm always worried now, like I'm going to pick up a game and be like, yeah, but it's not Skyrim.
It's bad, man. It's really bad.
I'm intrigued by the prospect of
Space Skyrim.
No Man's Sky.
Oh yeah, No Man's Sky. Yeah.
Which is 17. This is not an exaggeration. The game is going to have 17 quintillion.
Yeah,
playable.
It's
explorable worlds.
Awesome.
Like if every single human alive did nothing but play it for
they
the next 20 years, we still
all.
Wouldn't
it's,
find
it's
all.
It's space.
Of it.
That's like the hyper extreme of why I can't play that game. That is unbelievably addictive to me. I would need to go do
like
that.
Obsessively.
I have to. I wonder, like, it's not out yet, and they haven't revealed a whole lot about it. Like, I wonder if, like, if you find an awesome planet, Josh, and you discover it, can you, like, give me coordinates and I can go to it?
Yeah, I think you name it and stuff, too,
I believe. But is it, like, I just happen to find it, or, like, is it, like, does it show up on a map somewhere? I don't know.
I would imagine, I mean, since it's, like, a galaxy's worth of, like a real galaxy's worth of stars, like, I would assume that there's coordinates somehow.
And again,
I don't even know if we can...
disc!
I don't even know if we can have a coordinate in real life to a star.
Every time you bring up that game, Sean, I think there's a part of my brain that just, like, shuts off and is like, nope, not a thing. Because I just feel like I can't comprehend it.
Oh, man.
So it's easier just to be like, it's not even a thing right now. I don't have to worry about it.
Speaking of really cool things, totally off subject. You guys hear what Tesla did yesterday?
Oh, I saw.
I'm dead serious. What they did yesterday?
Yeah, self-driving car.
It was a download. Like, you parked your car last night, and when you got back in your car this morning, it's a self-driving car.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Speaking of amazing stories.
That's cool.
Tesla.
And? Dude.
I drove one once.
Can you? All right, I have a question.
I drove a Tesla once, guys, and I've never told anybody about it.
Can you drink and drive then? How does that work? Do you need to have to actually have a sober, coherent person behind the wheel at all times? Or could you just go in the back seat and be like, drive me home, car?
My guess is, like, right now, technology and law exists. That you could not drive a truck.
Not on the same level.
My
sure.
guess. I'm assuming. But I don't have
Tesla,
and I don't
saying.
Drive drunk. So.
For now.
And he's not a lawyer.
Yeah, that too.
A robot lawyer.
Unfrozen caveman lawyer. We're off topic, which I think means...
it's about time to wrap this up.
Yeah, but I'm definitely thinking people have got some suggestions out there. Like, I want to hear. Well, I want. Yeah, this is I want huge. Emails.
We're about to get schooled by
this. The is I want super emails.
Super wrong opinions on video games.
Well. And what we missed. Like, how could you not talk about me?
Well, that's yeah. There's just so many. There's so many video games, and I, because I'm bad at them, I just don't play a lot of them. So, like, I have no experience with, like, I know people get really into, like, Final Fantasy and the stories yeah, they're in. I've never played a Final Fantasy.
There's a
game.
Whole bunch of indie games, too, now that are just these real quirky stories that are real weird. And they're really, they're cool. Like, we were playing one the other day, and I don't remember the name of it. And it starts with a U, the undying.
Are you looking at me for
I'm thinking
advice?
Through you.
Skyrim.
I'm
is it Skyrim?
You. It wasn't that, but that'll be tonight. So it's like a really, it's just a really weird story, and like there's a million like
Skyrim isn't a weird story.
No, the game I'm talking about.
Oh wait, before I forget, mm-hmm. I wanted to tell you guys while I was perusing the Skyrim credits, did you know that Christopher Plummer was the voice of one of the Greybeards?
Yes.
Oh really?
I didn't know that. I did and know also, that. Did you know that Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, was the voice of Azura?
I did not know that.
No. I didn't know that.
Actually, I think Christopher Plummer has several voices.
Christopher
in that
Plummer
game.
Is no, the guy from one. He's okay. From the new Girl the Dragon tattoo,
yeah.
Right? Yes, I did
he's
know
Captain
that.
He's Captain Von
Trapp. Yes.
I was going to say, and also, Christopher Plummer, dude. He's probably got like a million credits.
Super handsome.
Still.
Still.
Yeah.
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 Zane's
yeah.
In
is he still alive?
Yeah. Zane's yeah, in the is. Granddad.
If they're Christopher Plummer, I am.
She can. I was going to do a plumber nope. joke. I was going to make a plumber joke
on
pipes.
No.
Nope. That's why I didn't do it.
Anyway, stick with us through this short break.
We'll be right back.
Plunder.
Have all stayed the same. But blue as the sky. I know you've forgotten me. And Sundays.
Welcome back to Segment 3, Episode 38 of Cracking the Spine. I am the Sean, and that one is Zane. And over there's Josh.
Hello.
I handled the introductions that time, guys.
Good work.
That was
so,
good.
Thanks. There was some news in the publishing world that we didn't talk about this week.
Okay, let's talk about
it. Just been making headlines.
I don't know about this.
You do, but you don't know what I'm going to say.
I do.
Playboy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There it is. Announced that they're going to be not publishing nude lady pictures anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So long, Playboy, because...
You'll just have to go like, everywhere else.
I'm looking... First of all, yeah, right? But now I'm looking over at, like, literally, I turn my head to look at the magazines.
Yeah.
So they're going to be GQ, yeah. And they're going to be Maxim,
right.
And they're going to be Esquire, and Which, who cares?
Did you read any of their statements about why they're doing it?
Because they're irrelevant and they need to get back into the news?
I mean, it's basically one of those things that... From what I read, it's like a marketing decision. Apparently, yeah. Like, their sales are already, even yeah. with titties, like,
whoa,
way down.
Wait, there was titties in that magazine?
Hold up.
I'm pretty sure Playboy has boobs.
Breasts.
Yeah.
Tasteful nudes.
And they, apparently, insane. they cleaned up their website, like, last year, and they took nudity off of their website.
Yeah.
And apparently their viewership and, like, clicks on the website have gone way up.
Which is
so it's
bizarre.
One of those things, like...
It really is.
It's an... You know, they had, like, analysts come in. They were like, well, it looks like the trend is if you get rid of... You know, it, like, they're cleaning up.
For every... Okay, I will counter this with some information that I know about Playboy. That magazine might not have nudes in it anymore, but a couple, I think a year or two ago, they bought, like, Suicide Girls. And since they bought Suicide Girls... There have been a lot more just straight-up vaginas on that website. I mean, I'm talking like hustler vagina. So whatever Playboy's doing on the Playboy magazine, they're countering in different areas.
Well,
I'm going to take you at your word on that one.
The other part of what I read about this was, which weirdly, of the three of us, I seem to be the most read about this topic.
Well, you were in it once.
I learn new things about myself every Thursday.
That's not true. I made that up, but the people will think it's true.
Thanks, Josh. what I read was that because now, like, in the 60s and 70s,
yeah.
This was how you acquired porn.
Right.
And now, porn is so ubiquitous.
It's so ubiquitous. It's everywhere.
Playboy, the way that Playboy was structured was redundant, and people were not. We've talked about this all the time. Who still comes? I mean, I know that there's people out there, but like the idea of walking into your local bookstore and being like, "Yeah, I'll get a Playboy," is like, why would you even?
Because it's a whole thing here. Because we keep it behind the counter. Like you have to. It's a special trip. But like what I said when I first heard it was like, great. How many issues until they're back to printing nudes? Because I bet they go three issues.
Apparently, Superman
dies.
Like,
right, exactly.
Two covers left until they stop printing. Who is it going to be? It's all marketing. It's you can see the boardroom meeting. Yeah. Like when you read this headline, you just know exactly what happened.
I mean, Playboy's always been sort of like. Ahead of the curve in some of the, you know,
curves.
And, like, I could see, like, I don't know, Hef's gonna die. He's old. They're trying to stay relevant in any way they can.
And also,
that's what I said. Like, they made a lot of headlines with this.
Yeah. They made a lot of headlines. Even we are talking about it.
But we can stop because that's much print and press or voice. That's enough talking about Playboy.
I'm switching back to Hustler.
I think it's funny that you're so knowledeable on the Suicide Girls website.
Jugs! I've had a Suicide Girls account for, like, a long time.
He has a Suicide Girls, like, coffee table book when you go to
You pay
house.
For pornography?
I don't pay for it.
You just said you had an account.
I don't pay for it. It's like $4 a month or something like that.
Which would be
paying for pornography,
it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Cool.
I swear to God, it used to be a website where it was, like, writing was done on it.
No, dig up, stupid.
like nobody listens to porn. I mean, right? Listens to porn.
The Ron Jeremy podcast. Oh yeah. Yeah, baby, yeah. That's good, babe. Alright, anyway, let's That's gonna wrap up episode 38 of Cracking This Spine. Yeah, this is a good time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week with more awesome family-friendly discussions. So
Bye,
come on
Mom.
Back. See you guys.
Plunger.